Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, May 2nd, 2023, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Live and learn. Hal Lindsey. Rewarding idleness and irresponsibility. Celebrating sin, praising lawlessness, tying the hands of law enforcement, encouraging illiteracy, giving control of all to an arrogant few, teaching children to trust feelings over facts, and then teaching them how and what to feel. These things are happening right now in America. But they have also happened before, repeatedly. Humanity seems intent on repeating history, even when its lessons seem obvious. Many years ago, the cable television channel called TV Land ran a particularly memorable ad for Leave It to Beaver. The announcer asked, "Why doesn't the beaver ever learn his lesson? He has often taught his lesson. He promises to remember his lesson, but the next day he's forgotten his lesson. Is he deliberately ignoring his lesson?" Well, not exactly. Then they showed the inside of Beaver's head. This is not a good idea. We won't even think about doing an MRI on the congregation. Then they showed the inside of Beaver's head, a small brain, surrounded by a great deal of empty space. We see the word lesson enter his head through his left ear. The narrator tells us what's happening. New evidence suggests that Beaver's lesson enters one ear, floats around his head for a few seconds, but avoids having any contact with his brain before exiting out the other side of his skull. The lesson goes in one ear and out the other. And that, friends, is the human condition. So, do we really live and learn? The answer is that, like a young beaver cleaver, the lessons just seem to bounce around our empty heads, then come out the other side without contacting our brains. We remember technological lessons, but collectively, humans tend to forget the moral truths. Right now, society seems to be in a particularly empty-headed phase. As the Soviet Union collapsed in the early 1990s, people joked that the only real communists left in the world were tenured at American universities. We should have taken that joke more seriously. Today, people make fun of the phrase godless communism, but they forget that most communist nations are officially atheistic. The result is just what you would expect. The state becomes a god. Individuals fall beneath its crushing wheels. They teach the young that rules aren't worth following. They defund the police and encourage contempt for law and order. This leads inevitably to chaos and terror. In their fear of anarchy, people soon call for more police with fewer restrictions and for increasingly coercive laws. And ironically, the fastest route to a police state is to dismantle law enforcement. Remember what the scriptures teach. Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32. The wrath of God is revealed against all who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And therefore, God gave them over and the lusts of their hearts to impurity. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. God gave them over to degrading passions. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. As a society, we are already well down this road. But it's not the time for despair. Those who still love God and respect His Word are not helpless. Those of you who are living the unique spiritual life of the church age, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, those of you who are living by the power of God, the spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. The first spiritual skill is the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Spiritual skill number two is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, to consistently and faithfully grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. And then spiritual skill number three, execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, as you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will fulfill the ultimate objective of why you're here. We're only here a short time in our tents. And that's going to be coming up in our Wednesday night class when we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And there's really a neat play on words there in 2 Corinthians 5. Endemeo, ekdemeo. In the house, out of the house. And the very short time we are here, we are in our house, a human body. And that human body is called a skenos. And the skenos is a tent. Our human body is a tent. Very, very, very temporary. We're only here a very short time. And as you would all have found out as your time goes by, your tent is wearing out. The stitches are coming apart. And we're in Demeo right now, in the human body. But ekdemeo is just around the corner. And that's where we're out of the body. That's physical death. Now we're out of the body. We're not in the skenos, the tent anymore. Now we're in heaven, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. And for most of us, we'll be in an interim body until the rapture. And at the rapture, we get our resurrection body. And we'll live with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Endemeo, ekdemeo. And Paul says, whether you are endemeo or ekdemeo, you are here to please the Lord. And so here's the United States of America. But for those of you who love God, you've developed personal love for God. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And respect His Word. That's genuine humility. Genuine humility. Respect for the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the pastor communicating the Word of God. And those few who are still doing that, you're not helpless. God's promises are riveted in your heart. He still cares, and you know that. We have this unique spiritual life, and we walk. We live that unique spiritual life by divine power, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God. And hopefully, His people are learning the lesson. And that is, we must do things His way. And by His power. God's way is the right way. A right thing must be done in a right way to be right. The right way is to live by the grace and by the power of God. And that's where I expect all of you to be living. Living by the grace and by the power of God. All right, Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, let's start at verse 1, corrected translation. Give a blast on the shofar, the ram's horn. Sound the alarm in Zion, and be caused to sound the alarm for war on my holy mountain. All the ones who are living in the land, people living in Israel during the great tribulation, will tremble with fear because the day of the Lord has arrived. Because it is near, imminent judgment and destruction is at hand. Verse 2. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like the dawn spreading out over the mountains, so a great and mighty army is being spread out over the land. There has absolutely not been anything like it from of old, nor ever will be again after it, even to the years of the future ages. Now that's just around the corner, the day of the Lord. We won't go through the day of the Lord. We live in the church age. The church age began at Pentecost, ends with the rapture. Where are we in the church age? Well, nobody knows exactly. I think we are very clearly at the end of the dispensation of the church age. The rapture is just around the corner. Does anybody know when it is? No, they don't. But God does, and in His perfect timing, the rapture will take place. The church age will end. We are all removed from planet Earth. Every believer removed from planet Earth at the rapture. Only unbelievers are left on this planet. That begins the seven-year tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, the end of the age of Israel. It's 7 years in length, but it's broken up into two parts. The first 3.5 years is actually, well, everybody will say, who is like the Antichrist? Dadgummit, that guy has called all the right shots. And there's going to be great prosperity for the first 3.5 years. But then, in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt temple, and the abomination of desolation will take place, and the Antichrist will declare to the world that he is God, and that the whole world must worship him as God. And if you don't worship him as God, you will be martyred. Now, in that 7-year tribulation period, there will be crisis evangelism. There will be the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. There will be the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And the grace gospel of Jesus Christ will be given all over the world in that 7-year period. And multitudes upon multitudes will believe in Jesus Christ. They will believe in Christ. They will learn truth of the Word of God. And when the abomination of desolation takes place, they will refuse to take the mark of the beast. And as a result, they will be martyred for their faith. Most of the believers who believe in Christ in the tribulation, most of them will be martyred for their faith. And the blood of the saints will be piled up deep. But Jesus Christ will return at the end of the great tribulations, at the completion of the 7 years. And when he returns, he brings judgment. All unbelievers on the earth will be judged, and they will be removed into Hades and torments. All believers that are left, and there won't be that many, but those who are left will be rescued. And they will be ushered into the millennial kingdom. And they will reign with the Lord in the millennium. Plus, so those, and they're in their physical bodies. They come in their physical bodies. And they will be there in the millennial kingdom in their physical body. And here's something else. They're going to live, most of them, the whole 1,000 years. The whole 1,000 years. There's no... Well, if you commit a capital crime, then you'll be executed. Unlike our system today where you just go right back out. Commit a capital crime in the millennial kingdom, Jesus Christ is the judge, you'll be executed. But if you, the Bible says if you die at the age of 350 or whatever, you must have been a criminal. And there will be a great population explosion. There will be plenty of room because most of the people on planet Earth died in the tribulation period. But there will be a great population explosion. There will be perfect prosperity, perfect health, perfect peace. No more war. No war anywhere on planet Earth. There will be no Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, no Coast Guard. No man will not train for war anymore. Perfect world peace because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is ruling on planet Earth. So world peace, great prosperity, perfect environment, perfect air. Now, I like watching hockey. I don't watch a lot of professional sports. But I like watching hockey. And I've already picked out Satan's hockey team. And they're in the playoffs. Satan has a hockey team. And they play in a arena called climate change. And my brother lives in that city. And I told him yesterday, I said, Don, I know you live in Seattle. I know the Seattle Kraken are in the playoffs. But they play in an arena called climate change. That's Satan's team. I'm not going to root for them at all. Now, on the other hand, how about the Florida Panthers? They were playing Florida, the worst record of any team in the playoffs. Who were they playing? The team that set a new record for most wins, most points. The Boston Bruins had 137 points. The Florida Panthers had 92 points. It was a slam dunk. Boston, just all they had to do was show up in Florida and say, oh, please, please. No. Florida beat them. But then look where Boston is. Massachusetts. That's Satan's second favorite area. So here's Florida. You got establishment, truth, down in Florida. Great governor down there. He would even make a great president. And they beat Boston. Yeah. And so they moved on to the second round. The second round, they're playing Toronto. I have nothing against Toronto. If I did, I'd tell you. Nothing against Toronto, but tonight they played Toronto in Toronto. They beat Toronto! Now, to me, the perfect Stanley Cup championship, the Las Vegas Golden Knights against the Florida Panthers. Now that would be a great one. Hell, you see, and I add those things, and all of that is free of charge. So during the Great Tribulation, God will pour out a holocaust on the whole world. We see that in Joel 2, 1 and 2, Daniel 12, verse 1. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ declared that the Great Tribulation will be the worst holocaust ever known to man. And he presented that in Matthew 24, 3 to 21. And when you think back of all the holocausts of history and realize that the Great Tribulation will be far worse, then you begin to see how horrific the destruction and devastation on the whole world will be. The Great Tribulation will be greater in its effect on all of creation than any other period of human history. The horrific pain, horrific suffering and death of mankind will never be greater than in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Jesus, in fact, declared if those days were not cut short, no one would survive. Matthew 24:22. That is, if the 7-year tribulation were any longer, it's going to go 7 years. And then Jesus Christ returns at the end of that 7 years. But he says, if it were to go any longer, if it were not cut short at that point, no one would survive. And then we just barely got started in Joel 2:3. In Joel 2, verse 3, the military invasion of the king of the north and the great tribulation is compared to a fire that no one can control and no one can put out. It is a time of horrific death, destruction, and devastation. Everything that was useful is now useless. Everything that was worth something is now worthless. The invading armies kill and rob, steal and rape, loot and destroy. But you know, I took a step back. Look at our own nation. And I love America. I truly love America. I love what that flag stands for. I love the fact that we have freedom purchased for us on battlefields by heroes. Military heroes. And many of them gave the supreme sacrifice and gave their life so you could be here tonight and have the freedom to worship Jesus Christ. And I hope you all have enough truth in your soul to appreciate what those men and women in this country have done and the sacrifice they made so you could have the freedoms that you have tonight to worship Jesus Christ. But I look at America and see what's happening. And we're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. We are now lifting up people that and spending and spending and spending and giving to people who don't want to work. They want a paycheck. They want money. They want handouts. They don't want to work. They just want handouts. They want reparations. They want money. And so our government spends and spends and spends and spends to give to people who don't even want to work. And they will say, well, they're trying to eliminate poverty. And as I showed you last time, Jesus Christ said, the poor you will have with you always. They keep spending and keep spending. Uncontrollable inflation is around the corner. Banks are already going bankrupt. They, in the process of all of this spending, create economic disaster. The fourth cycle of national discipline, and just around the corner from that, is the fifth cycle of national discipline, military invasion. And in the process of that, they will cut military spending. And they destroy our oil and gas capability, which is total insanity. So I ask the question, who is holding the fort here in America? The only thing holding the fort today in America is the grace of God, the pivot of spiritually mature believers. So verse 3, as much as we exegete it, says, A fire devours before them, and behind them a flaming fire blazes. In the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the great tribulation, the military invasion by the King of the North is compared to a blazing fire. The great tribulation is a time of ravages, the ravages of warfare, like a blazing fire. Invading armies will come from the four points of the compass and meet in the Middle East in the Esdraelon Plain, the Valley of Megiddo. It includes the King of the North, which today would be Russia, the Kings of the East, which today is Communist China, the Kings of the South, which today is the Pan-Arabic Bloc, and the Antichrist, who comes out of the revived Roman Empire. And they all come from the four points of the compass into the Middle East, into the Esdraelon Plain, the Valley of Megiddo. And this is what the Bible calls Armageddon. It is a time of death, destruction, and devastation. In Joel 2:2, we saw the day of the Lord will be a time of darkness, blackness, gloom, invading armies, which are described as clouds. Now in Joel 2:3, we see that the day of the Lord is a time of ravaging fire. The day of the Lord will culminate with the baptism of fire, and we studied that last time. So, a fire devoured before them, and behind them a blazing fire blazes. Now we go on. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them. Very interesting statement here by Joel. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them. This is the preposition kaf, prefixed to the noun gan, joined by a makef to the proper noun aden, plus the noun eretz with the definite article, plus the preposition lam with prefix to the masculine plural construct of pane with the third person singular masculine suffix. Now we're going to have this preposition used again and again and again. Kaf, keshava. It sets up a comparison. You can translate it like or as. The preposition kaf sets up a comparison between the Garden of Eden and the nation Israel in the first 3.5 years. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, Israel's going to be prosperous. Prosperous. Great economic prosperity in the first 3.5 years. In fact, they're so prosperous, they don't even have a military. They don't have a military. They don't have walls to protect themselves. They are in great, great prosperity. And guess who's watching all of this? Russia. The King of the North. And he, in that first 3.5 years, he sees Israel drop its guard. In fact, right now, what he's doing in the Ukraine, Putin is trying out a lot of brand new things in his military. Trying them out. He knows what works and what does not work. And they're getting better and better as the longer this thing goes. The first 3.5 years, Israel is like the Garden of Eden. So this calf sets up a comparison between the Garden of Eden and the nation Israel in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then we have Gan. G-A-N, Gan. And Gan is the Hebrew word garden. Most of the time in the Old Testament scriptures, it is used for the Garden of Eden. And then we have Eden. Looks like that in the Hebrew. Ayin. E-D-E-N. Eden. And it has been transliterated, Eden. And then we have Eretz. And Eretz That's Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, Eretz. Eretz is the word land, refers to Israel in the land in the first 3.5 years. And then Lapanav is the same prepositional phrase we had in the first clause of verse 3. It means before them. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. That's the corrected translation. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. That is what Israel looked like. That's what the king of the north sees. They've dropped their guard. They're right wide open for military invasion. And down will sweep the king of the north. Up will come the kings of the south, the Pan-Arabic bloc. The kings of the east, the communist Chinese, will come in. The Antichrist, revived Roman Empire, will come in. And they all will assemble to destroy Israel from the face of the earth and every Jew from the face of the earth. So behind them, before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. And then, now we go, and behind them. And behind them, a desolate wilderness. This is the very same phrase that we had in the first clause of verse 3. It's correctly translated, but behind them. And then we have Midbar. Midbar, M-I-D-B-A-R. Midbar. Midbar means wilderness, uninhabited land. This is a term for Las Vegas. It means desert. We live in a desert. And I hear people all say, oh, we're in a drought. Are you kidding me? We're in the desert. The desert is a drought. And by the way, I'm always checking to see what the people who know, I never read the review journal, they don't know anything about anything, but the water's going to come up in Lake Mead 22 feet. Going to come up 22 feet because there's so much snow up in the Rockies. That's going to melt and come down, so why? We might have water until the Lord calls me home. You never can tell. So Midbar, desert, and then Shemama. That's a great word. Shemama. S-H-V-A-M-A-M-A-H. Shemama. And Shemama means devastation and waste. But behind them, the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation, behind them a desert of devastation and waste. And then in the King James it says, yay! Yea, and nothing shall escape them. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the adverb gam. This is not the noun gan, but the adverb gam, which is joined by a makef to the noun paleta, plus the objective negative lo, joined by a makef to the cal perfect of haya, plus the preposition lama with the third person singular masculine suffix. Now, this vav V-A-V is an emphatic vav, should be correctly translated, in fact. And then the adverb gam. G-A-M. Gan was garden. Gam, well, Gam actually may be translated, usually is translated, also or moreover. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 169, tells us that when gam is used with a negative, as it is in our verse, then it should be translated neither, nor, or nothing. And nothing is the best translation, so we'll translate it nothing. The objective negative lo with the to-be verb haya slams the door. It says, in fact, nothing at all. In fact, nothing at all. And then we have paleta. P Shva L long E T A H. Paleta. And paleta means escape. And the preposition lameth escaped them. In fact, nothing at all escapes them. All right. Now, verse 3 sounds like this. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flaming fire blazes. Before them, in the first 3.5 years, the land is like the Garden of Eden. But behind them, the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, a desert of devastation and waste. In fact, nothing at all escapes them. Get that? Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden, but behind them, a desert of devastation and waste. In fact, nothing at all escapes them. This emphasizes the tremendous and horrific destruction of these invading armies in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. The Russians come out of the north, the king of the north. The communist Chinese come out of the east, the kings of the east. The Pan-Arabic bloc comes out of the south, and the Antichrist, the head of the revived Roman Empire, will all assemble in the Valley of Megiddo, the Esdraelon Plain, for the Battle of Armageddon. Now in Joel 2, verses 4 and 5, we have a description of the invaders. Joel chapter 2, 4 and 5, the description of the invaders. Joel 2, 4 in King James says, the appearance of them is like the appearance of horses. This is the preposition kaf, prefix to the construct of the noun mera, plus the plural of the noun sus, plus the noun mera, repeated with the third person singular masculine suffix. And once again, we're going to have this again, again, and again, and again. Kaf. Like. We will translate it like. Like, and this preposition sets up a comparison. Now, remember this now. I've gone over this several times. Whenever you're dealing with prophetic scriptures, you have a near fulfillment in the time of the prophet who is writing, and you have a far fulfillment. In this case, the far fulfillment is looking at the tribulation period, the day of the Lord. The near fulfillment is also included here. That's between the horses and the locust invasion of Joel's day. The far fulfillment is between horses and the day of the Lord in the Great Tribulation. Both took place. The near fulfillment took place in Joel's day and administered the fourth cycle of national discipline. They were that close to the fifth cycle of national discipline. In fact, Sennacherib came down out of Assyria with his army, destroying everything in his path, and came to Jerusalem and surrounded Jerusalem. And then he arrogantly said, I have you like a bird in a cage, and I'm going to destroy you all. And he maligned the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Well, Isaiah, he was a great, great communicator and kept teaching doctrine, kept telling the people that all this was going to take place unless they rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, turned back to God and His Word, and grow up. And if enough people did that, God would deliver them. Well, they did do that. They listened to Isaiah. They responded. The pivot enlarged in Judah, the southern kingdom. And here comes arrogant Sennacherib, maligning Jesus Christ. And Hezekiah was one of those who rebounded, and he got back into fellowship with God, and he responded to Isaiah's teaching. And therefore, once he advanced and became a spiritually adult believer, why, Hezekiah went to prayer. He prayed, and God responded to Hezekiah's prayer, and he told Isaiah, you go to Hezekiah, you tell him, I heard his prayers. And he will be delivered, the southern kingdom will be delivered, and Sennacherib and the Assyrian forces will be destroyed. And they were. In one night, the Lord Jesus Christ killed 185,000 Assyrians. They were just getting ready to totally wipe out Jerusalem and the southern kingdom. When they got up the next morning, 185,000 of the military dead. One night. And Sennacherib said, you know, this is a bad omen. And he turned around, took all of his military forces, and went back home. But the Lord Jesus Christ also told Isaiah, you tell Hezekiah, when he gets back home, he will die when he gets back. And he was assassinated by his own sons. Assassinated by his own sons when he got back home. Near fulfillment. Between the horses and the locust invasion in Joel's day, far fulfillment between the horses and the day of the Lord and the great tribulation. And that includes, by the way, that if we study, and we'll teach. I have held off on teaching Revelation. And I'll tell you why. If I teach Revelation, it'll get out. And we'll get every weirdo in the world coming in here going, ooh. Who is the Antichrist? And I just, and by the way, there's nothing tough about Revelation. I'll teach it, but I know when I do, we're going to get every kook in the world coming in here and, there is going to be not only great invading armies in the last 3.5 years, there will be demonic invasions, invading demonic armies in the Great Tribulation. And you haven't seen anything as to the horror of the demonic invasions combining with the military invasions in the Great Tribulation. And then Merah. M-A-R. And then Aleph E-H. Merah. And Merah comes from the verb ra'a, which means to see. And mera means appearance. And in the construct form with the preposition kaf, it means like the appearance of. Like the appearance of. And then sus. Like the appearance of Miss Seuss. Seuss is the Hebrew word for horse. We have it in the plural, horses. And then mera is repeated with the third person singular masculine suffix, their appearance. So the corrected translation, their appearance, is like the appearance of horses. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses. One, the locust plague in Joel's day descended on Judah like a massive, well-equipped cavalry moving toward a single objective, total destruction of all vegetation, economic disaster, the fourth cycle of national discipline. And this, they saw this. Joel and all the people in his day saw this. So that's the near fulfillment. And Joel, he and the people in southern kingdom of Judah saw this. The locust plague in Joel's day descended on Judah like a massive, well-equipped cavalry moving toward a single objective, that of destruction of all vegetation, economic disaster, the fourth cycle of national discipline. And this is the near fulfillment. The near fulfillment of the prophecy. Two. Locusts, by the way, have features that are very similar to horses. Locusts have features that are very similar to horses. In fact, Timmy always tells me it's not Italy, it's Italy, so these are Italians. No, this is the Italian stallion, I mean. You know. The Italian word for locust is cavallette. Cavallette, which means little horse. So the Italians call locust the little horse. The German word for locust is Hepford. Hepford. And Hepford means hay horse. They are hay eaters. Hay horse. That's a German word. Centuries ago, Theodoret said, quote, if anyone should examine accurately the head of a locust, he will find it exceedingly like that of a horse. Three, they not only resemble horses, but verse 4 goes on to say they resemble horsemen in their swiftness as they rush to devour with devastating judgment. They not only resemble horses, but in verse 4 goes on to say they resemble horsemen in their swiftness as they rush to devour devastating judgment. And like horsemen, so shall they run. Conjunction vav, prefix to the preposition kaf, which is prefix to the masculine plural noun parashim, plus the adverb came, plus the cal imperfect of the verb roots. The conjunction vav is the connective vav, you translate it and. Kaf, once again, sets up a comparison, like or as. We'll keep with like. The masculine plural of the noun parash. Parash. P-A-R-A-S-H, Parash. Parash means war horses. It is the Hebrew word for war horses. And then the adverb Cain. K-E-N, Cain. And Cain means so. And then the verb roots. That's R long U T S. Roots. And roots means to run. And like war horses, so they run. So verse 4 then sounds like this. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses, so they run. Now remember, we have prophetic passages. Near fulfillment, Joel's day, the locust invasion, the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster. They were right on the verge of the fifth cycle of discipline. And then far fulfillment, the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. Now, there is an old Arab saying that declares, in the locust, slight as it is, I'm quoting now, quotation, in the locust, slight as it is, there is the nature of 10 larger animals. It has the face of a horse, the eyes of an elephant, the neck of a bull, the horns of a deer, the chest of a lion, the belly of a scorpion, the wings of an eagle, the thighs of a camel, the feet of an ostrich, the tail of a serpent. Now, as we look forward from Joel's day, the near fulfillment and the locust invasion, to the far fulfillment, the day of the Lord and the invasion of the king of the north, the Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. They didn't have tanks in Joel's day. But in the far fulfillment, we have mechanized forces, tanks. And by the way, the Russians have developed a brand new tank in this war with the Ukraine. And don't ever stop praying for the Christians of Ukraine. There's a great pivot of mature believers in Ukraine, and I hope you pray for them every single day, that God puts a wall of fire around them and protects them. And they are going all over the nation and out to the front lines giving the gospel to the Ukrainian troops. So you pray that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands to be used by Him to proclaim establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth throughout the nation of Ukraine, and that God might in His grace deliver that nation from this satanic attack by Russia. Now we look forward from Joel's day and the locust invasion to the day of the Lord and the invasion of the king of the north. And the Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. And so we'll look at this then when we start out next week with our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.